Okay. Right, sorry, I've not got enough surfaces here. I'm not sure what I'm actually going to talk about this morning. I've got something. I do have a sermon prepared, but I've got a feeling I'm not going to go there. So, but I do want to talk to you anyway about small groups, or as we're calling this time, small air groups. Okay. So, I was looking back. We've actually not done small groups since the end of the summer. Do you know it? And there's been a number of reasons for that. One is that we didn't do it through the summer because everybody needed a break. The guys who were leading small groups through that time was probably the hardest we've ever worked, small group leaders, in one sense, because they were carrying it on Zoom, which was really, really difficult. And then the last few sessions of small group, again, because we were doing it on Zoom and couldn't do it in person, we'd made it quite prescriptive. Everybody was studying the same thing, and it was all quite structured. And since we kind of came back this summer and we came back to doing in-person services here, we realized like there's the danger that we had coming back in person was that we started doing everything that we did before straight away. And we felt that wouldn't be a wise thing, that we need to go at a gentle pace, a kind of slow pace. And I think certainly in terms of small groups, we've done that, because I think that's about 7 or 8 months since we've done it. And it's weird because if you go to our website, it'll actually tell you that small groups are the heart of our church. So we should have actually deleted that page for the past guts of a year because of that. But I think we're ready to get back into this. Being together is really important. It's really important, and I think we've become so used to being isolated, haven't we? And in our own homes, like tucked away. I was just sharing with the lovely Susan there, who's loves Susan Marshall. She's a fantastic encourager. But I was just kind of sharing her with something there in the break about, you know, for me, like when all the pressure and stress comes on, my natural instinct is to kind of go somewhere alone, but not in a good way, in terms of like, it's fine, I'll sort all this stuff out, I'll get it all kind of knocked into place, I can feel the pressure, I can feel the stress, and then what I do is like, I don't really tell anybody else about it, and then what happens is somebody will come to me and they say, what are you doing about such and such, and then I think, why haven't I spoke to somebody about this, because I'm under too much pressure, and I think that's probably always been a kind of default for me throughout my life, but certainly it has been exaggerated over this past 2 years. Anybody relate to that? Or is it just me? It's me. I like when I share this stuff to know that I'm not like super weird and it's just me that goes to these kind of mad places. But the comfort for me is that I don't have to face things. I think that's kind of what it is, and I kind of procrastinate on stuff. And I hate going there because I know as I'm doing it, it's actually building more pressure. So I think as we've come through this season of coming back in person, starting to see people again, our homes have started to open up a bit more. Everyone has gone at a different pace for that. Some people have embraced that and been glad to get back together with people in their homes. Other people have been more cautious, some for health and safety reasons, but some also for, I don't know if I can actually cope with this. I don't know if I can cope with these people. And I remember when we first, certainly I would say from September up to pretty much Christmas, the atmosphere in here was strange. I think we've turned a corner after the new year, and you know, I don't think anybody was really like enjoying being here. It was almost like we have to kind of press through this time and get things kind of started up again. So the same thing is for small groups or smaller groups, and there's two reasons that we're making them smaller. One is, when we started talking about this as a leadership team, we were very much under the three household rule that the Scottish government had set in place. And although that's kind of eased now, like it's not law anymore. It's now very much in the guidance area. We actually thought, you know what, keeping the groups a bit smaller was probably going to be easier for the majority of people. So we're going to do small air groups. And they're going to look and feel a bit different than we've done before. But I guess it wouldn't matter what we'd done. It was going to be different, wasn't it? Because we've all come through some stuff over the past 3 years, 2 years. So in the past, when we've done small groups, we've always asked people to register for a group and choose a group that you want to join. But this time around, we are going to invite all of you to join a group. So we've kind of done it in reverse. We've kind of put groups together, and we're going to ask you to, we're going to invite you to join a group rather than do the registration thing. And the groups will be a bit smaller than before. It'll be single figures in each group for sure. But it actually means this, if this goes according to plan, we'll have more small groups than we've ever had. So in a weird way, although we've kind of made things smaller, we've actually made things bigger. And that's a whole other thing I think God's been talking to me about. What does it mean to be big? But we'll see if we've got time to look at that. So they'll be a bit smaller than before. And then we've also looked at putting together based on geography and also on family circumstances. So if where there's kids in the house, trying to get it so that, we'd love families to be the hosts so that mum and dad can both be at small group. And trying to get people, as geographically close as we can under all the different circumstances. But the biggest thing that we want to emphasize on this that is that our groups will have a heavy, if not entire, emphasis on relationship, fellowship, supporting each other in prayer. How does that sound? Right? We need to get together and be there for each other again. We've lost the art or the knack of this through no fault of our own. It's been taken away from us. And we want to bring that back. And we want to do that at a pace and at a size that everyone is comfortable with. And it may be that maybe you're maybe not ready to step back into a group just now, that's okay. But we're going to invite you because we want to include you. But if you're still want to step back and there's maybe nerves around health or catching COVID or that, or you maybe have kind of circumstances in your own life that you're just a bit wary of, that's absolutely fine. Okay, none of this is like you must be there, but we want you to be invited. And then in your own time and at your own pace, you can start filtering back in to groups. So the emphasis will be in relationships, fellowship, supporting each other through prayer and encouragement. But we don't want to just do it like on one night or one session. We want that to be through the week as well. And one of the things I've loved about small group over the past few years is when we've discovered WhatsApp, and we can create wee groups and we can check in each other and get words of encouragement. And I love all that. I love all that. So that means that there'll be no sort of like structured study, Bible study, such in the groups. We're going to focus entirely on being together and concentrate on building relationships. Now, that's not to say that we're not going to be talking about the Bible, right? If you love God and you're a follower of Jesus, then the Bible will come out in your conversations. And, of course, the expectation would be that as we're talking to each other, we're going to be praying for each other and the Word of God is going to be shared amongst us. So it's just making all that a bit looser and a bit structured. And then the other thing that's going to look different is that we're going to leave it to each group to decide when they will meet each week and to choose how that will look. So, our thing is when the groups come together for the first time, we think you need to have a conversation about when you want to meet. It could be evening, it could be daytime, it could be weekends, it could be indoor, it could be outdoor, it could be around an activity. I think for sure it'll be around food. Yeah? Right? Food's the great magnet of people coming together. But really what we're kind of saying is it's kind of like we're decentralizing and, letting it become more natural, more organic, and let's just see what God does in these groups. And what excites me about it as well is that as new people come to the church and we find out where they live, we can then direct them to a group that's actually close to where they live and say, "Whitey will be a part of these guys. And these guys will welcome you with open arms because you're all lovely people." So does that sound okay? And, you know, I was listening. I've had a few conversations this week that have kind of made me think a bit more about where we're all at. I know, like, since September when we came back in person, I've referred a lot to how things have been during COVID and that sort of thing, and I'm getting a bit tired of hearing myself say it. But the thing is, when I'm having conversations with people, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how we're feeling now based on what we've gone through. And there's a couple of things that I've heard a few times now. It seems that a lot of conversations I get into, especially with other church leaders, that they talk about these past 2 years has been like a trauma. It's been like a slow car crash that we've gone through something really traumatic, but it's actually happened in a very kind of slow way. So I did a bit of kind of looking into this, and there's a lot of chat around mental health about that. The fact that the trauma has been slow doesn't make it less traumatic, and actually what it means is that it takes you longer to recover from the trauma. So I guess we're going to be carrying some of this stuff for a wee while, some longer than others, and we need to be sensitive to that. And I was listening, I was listening to Talk Sport, which is my kind of go-to radio station in the car, because that's sport's my thing. That's what I love. But I was listening to one of the programs, and there was a conversation we were having about mental health, and it was about the mental health of sports people and also fans coming to football matches and that sort of thing. And almost in a kind of like, in a flippant way, the guy that was presenting, he said, it's no wonder people are struggling with their mental health when we were told to lock ourselves away in our houses for 2 years and listen to death statistics on the TV. I mean, I thought that's no wonder we're traumatized. You know, shut yourself away and listen to every day we get told how many people have died and how many people are in intensive care. Like, that's not normal, right? I've never seen that in my life before. And we just need to, I think, take a breath and a pause every so often and just check that we're okay. And I think small groups are a way that we can make sure that we're doing that with each other, that we start to come out of isolation and reconnect. Jesus said this in Matthew 11. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's what you want, isn't it? I can actually feel the tension drain from me as I read those words. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. If you have been asked to lead a small group going into this new season, or to host a small group, it's going to be easy. It's going to be easy, because we're not going to give you any direction or instruction about what you're going to do. We're just going to leave it to you and your group just to enjoy and rest in the Lord in each other's company. The Message version of that, those same words, puts it like this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Matt, that feels what we've been trying to do, isn't it? Recover our lives. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And guys, I just believe that that's the season God is taking us into. It's a season of deep breaths, of not taking too much on, and serving in a healthy way. One of the things that you know, it's funny because Andrew Yule was up this morning saying that there's plenty of room for you guys to serve anywhere you want. And just in case you think that's a contradiction, let me tell you why serving is good for rest. So when we came back in person in September, or in fact, let's go before that, we always had a problem trying to get enough people to serve on our kids team, right? And as a leadership, I've got to say, when we were coming back to discuss about how we'd come back in person with our leadership team, I think we spent 90% of our time talking about the kids ministry, kids church. And I'll tell you, it was a robust, emotional conversation because our hearts are for families, our hearts are for our children, but we felt like there was something wrong because we were struggling to get people to serve on the team. And we came back with a kind of different way of talking about it, and Lindsay got up, I remember, in front of you guys. Lindsay's doing a great job leading that team. But now we've got so many people on the team serving that it's on a six-week rotation. So when you're serving, you're pretty much only doing it 1 in 6 weeks. So the more of us who serve, the more rest we give to other people. You get it? Right? So the more people are serving, the more rest that we create. The more people that serve, the more rest that we create. And that's why, you know, we will always look for areas for people to serve, particularly on a Sunday. It takes the pressure off. Another conversation I had this week reminded me of the story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary, right? Some of you will know that story. So let me just read it to you. It's in Luke 10. And interestingly, this is a time where Jesus and his disciples are ramping up the work rate. They're getting busy. They're doing a lot of traveling. In that Luke chapter 10, there's a lot of activity happening with Jesus doing miracles and the disciples basically running to stand still. They're struggling to keep up pace with Jesus. And it says this in the story in Luke 10. It says, as they, that said Jesus and the disciples, continued their travels, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before Jesus, hanging on every word that he said. But Martha was pulled away by all that she had to do in the kitchen. And later she stepped in and interrupted them and said to Jesus, Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. And Jesus said, Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. You know, sometimes we can be so busy doing good things that we forget to leave time to spend with Jesus. And what I want to leave you today is this, that in these coming weeks and months, we need to be more Mary and less Martha. We need to be more Mary and less Martha. It doesn't mean we don't do anything, but we do it at a pace and in a way that is healthy and doesn't burn us out. And I'll tell you, where there is one person doing all the work and one person doing nothing, you will find resentment. You'll find bitterness, and you'll find people talking about the people that aren't doing anything. And then the people that aren't doing anything will say, I never got an opportunity to do anything because they're always doing it. We need to get the balance and get this right. And we need to be, but to serve effectively and to be busy in the right way, we need to do what Mary did. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen to him. Read the word. Pray. And we'll find out like what it is that he wants us to do. If we're running about trying to do the right thing in an active way like Martha, we'll miss out on Jesus. So let's be more Mary and less Martha.